Jonathan Peterlin and Garrett Bush with you guys. We are in Berea. We are at the practice right now, and we do have an update in regards to the latest on Browns cornerback MJ Emerson. Obviously, you just heard because we were just talking with Coach Riz. He's like, geez, doesn't sound good. Doesn't seem good.
Yeah.
And we got the update. Mike Garofolo, among others. But Garofolo reporting to him and Rap Sheet, MJ Emerson suffered what is believed to be an Achilles injury today. He's going to undergo imaging to determine the full extent of the injury. The expectation, though, is that it's a significant tear, G. Bush. So an Achilles injury, expectation, significant tear. If we know anything about Achilles injuries and significant tears, that would presume the season would be over for MJ Emerson, I would imagine.
Yeah, that's all she wrote.
That's it.
I mean, that's a doggone shame.
Contract year, 24 years old. Yeah. Awesome player a couple years ago. Had the setback last year where it wasn't as good. But this is devastating. There's no other way to put it. This is devastating news for the Browns.
You lose your starting corner. You lose your – see, this is – this is tough, man. You know, this is why we kind of talk about this thing with football, because it's so unpredictable. Just think about the things that have happened so far. You saw Kenny Pickett. He you know, goes out with the hamstring earlier in camp. It's Quinshon Judkins, right?
Yeah.
These are all guys that figure to be in the rotation for either starting or major contributors, and then now you lose – presumably, we'll wait to see what comes out, but the news doesn't look good. Your starting cornerback, and if anything is going to happen with this team, it's going to happen defensively. They have to lead. They were going to have to lead defensively.
That's a good point.
And now you have to rotate. You go, and actually, to be honest with you, I thought that was one of the positions of strength for the team. Grant Delpit.
Oh, it should be. I mean, if you think about it. Denzel Ward's one of the best corners in the game. ESPN executives ranked him as number 3. MJ Emerson, when he's playing like he was 2 years ago instead of last year, is a legitimate number 1 on most teams in the sport. And, I mean, Greg Newsom is so good at his job. But he's been in a position where he hasn't really been able to thrive in what he typically would be best in. That's a former first-round pick that was shoved to the inside. We know he can play the outside. Like, yeah, there's a lot there.
Yeah, there is. And so that's why as we move around things and we kind of started the show talking about this, look, we haven't been in an inter-squad scrimmage practice. We haven't been with these other teams in Philadelphia and the Panthers. We have not done that. So we haven't gotten any preseason games. So, you know, a lot of people are saying first team reps and who's playing with this person and where they're moving. Guys, we haven't even got to the tackling part of this thing, and we got guys, major guys, for whatever reason, not on the field.
Well, so you highlighted the big three, and so I want to go through that because when you talk about it, I thought the Browns, if they were going to win in any sort of way this year, and I don't know what your expectations were for this season, but no one had it at extremely high measures. I mean, Vegas has this as 5.5 wins, so like, we'll do this with a grain of salt. But if they were going to win, I thought it was going to be in a very Steelers-esque way. Run the ball a ton and play exceptional defense. Yep. That's what they had to do. And now you fast forward, and you mentioned Judkins is gone for an amount of games we don't quite yet know, but that takes a big hit to the running game. Kenny Pickett was going to be part of the plan if you didn't want to have the ball turned over a ton, which again, part of the Steelers' plan of winning, basically game managing with your quarterbacks, not turning the ball over, running the ball big. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you lose JOK for his career, which is devastating. The only Pro Bowler that Andrew Berry has ever selected, he's gone forever. And then you mix it with the idea that what is one of the best pieces of this defense, one of the more promising pieces of the defense, and MJ Emerson is gone as well. And all of a sudden, that defense that looked very, very healthy and could compete to be one of the best defenses in all the NFL and was going to be the recipe in how you win games, it's taken two really big hits relative to when we were talking about it, let's say even 3, 4, 5 months ago.
Yeah, listen, and a lot of rookies and young guys, let's talk about it on the defensive end of the spectrum. Devin Bush, we're figuring out what's going on with him.
Another good point.
Another outside linebacker. Mike Hall, he's still in the pup list.
Well, we just have guys just, you know, retiring in the middle of very beginning of camp.
We forgot all about that.
Like, what is going on?
Jordan's
here?
Like, yeah, I'm
Jordan
cool.
Nixon's like, I'm done.
I'm cool. Yeah, like I stay home. This family life is kind of cool.
We're the green dot, but I guess I'm just I showed up for 2 days and decided I didn't want to do this anymore.
So now you look around. You got Carson Schlessinger, rookie.
Who looks good by all accounts, but he's just that. He's a rookie.
Hey, they might as well give him the captain then.
Mason Graham and him might end up getting it. I don't know.
So now you talk about Mason Graham in the top 5.
Well, so the defensive line will still be great.
Yes.
Right? Like, we know that. They're going to be great. I think so highly of Isaiah McGuire and Alex Wright, and I love where that competition's going to go. But Myles Garrett and Mason Graham and, I don't know, two sacks of potatoes are going to be able to get the job done. That's just, they're so good, they're going to be able to get the job done. But then where do we go from here? You got Denzel still. That's great.
That's awesome.
But you see the hits that we've been taking now.
But you know Denzel, he get four games off every year.
He played 16 last year, but you're right. You're right in that every year outside of last season, the man just is he's playing 12 or 13 games.
He's going to get 12 or 13, and it's just
that's his. That's his MO?
So now.
What a good vacation plan Denzel's working on there. I don't know.
It's beautiful, man.
How do we get that?
So you couple that with you want to play complimentary football, right?
Yeah.
You want to run the ball. A big part of your running game is, all right, Quinshon Judkins was going to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're like, okay, well, are we going to be able to do that with Jerome Ford? Can we run that same side with Dylan Sampson? They're getting guys already, signing guys from the UFL to, I don't know, come take some pits.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, we watched Schlesinger basically knock Dylan Sampson into the next week after that.
Sideways. I said, oh, anytime your legs are above your head.
I think he ended up where the new stadium's going to be built.
When your legs and your body is going two different ways or your leg is above your waist, that's never good.
Never good.
It's never good. You can't get hit like that. That is not a good look, bro. I said, so they thinking about it. So and by the way, the third part of this component is, if you're going to want to play smart complementary football and you're going to go and you're going to try to beat the Patriots or the Steelers or the Ravens or somebody like that, you kind of got to have special teams.
Yeah.
And special teams really ain't our thing besides punt. What are we looking like?
Yeah, Bohorquez is still great.
He's great, but when it comes to getting points
on the board, our kicker is very problematic, all things considered. If he was on any other team last year, he would have been cut. But they paid him money, and they're like, all right, we paid you money, and we're not going to be very competitive this year. You know, here's the part that stinks, though. This is what bothers me just a little bit. If this was a projected 11-win team, do you know the chaos that would be around this MJ Emerson conversation right now?
Crazy.
Like we're talking about it, and it matters in such a big-time way. If this was an 11- or a 12-win team, we would have full phone lines on this.
Yes.
People would be panicking in the streets. The news around, like everywhere you turn, people would still be like, did you hear about MJ Emerson? You see about MJ Emerson?
Man,
now, because we're projected to win six games potentially this year, people are like, oh, yeah, that's unfortunate. Yeah, the defense isn't really going to be anything good anyway, right? Like, and it just kind of stinks. Like, these are the conversations that you get robbed of when the expectations aren't very high, because this is a massive hit to this defense.
Now, when you talk about expectations, Jonathan, they go hand in hand with the quarterback. And so, as you see, and people are moving out left and right, I think that the conversation starts to shift with, it's going to be very difficult for the organization not to do everything possible to get a look at these young quarterbacks, because at some point, there's no reason to be trotting any old school veterans. And I love what Joe Flacco did a couple of years ago, but let's not forget what happened at the end of that saga.
Yeah. Well, and when you come up with more and more injuries, you can't even lie to the locker room at that point, can you?
Yeah. Like, come on, MJ.
Like the idea of Joe Flacco is we're trying to get wins so the locker room doesn't lose their enthusiasm and everything associated with it. Well, I mean, the locker room's not—they're not idiots.
I mean, they just was kneeling a second ago. They saw what To understand that is one of the best players that they have on their team, and that player is not going to be with them. So, obviously, the one thing that you can get is the excitement level. And sometimes you get excitement from other places. Joe Flacco provided it when he came off the couch and provided that spark, and it turned into a special season. You can get that with a young quarterback that you don't expect to be somebody.
All right, let's ask you guys, and I want to get G. Bush's thoughts on this. I'm gonna surprise you with a little something. But 216-474-0092. I have a Shedeur Sanders theory that I want to roll past G. But are the Browns going to be forced to take Shedeur seriously? You keep getting these injuries, and maybe they do say, "All right, fine. We're just so injury ravaged. Let's throw the young guys out there. Let's see exactly what they can do." It's Jonathan Peterlin, G. Bush, Afternoon Drive with you guys right here on the Fan.